Matthew chapter 28. If you got your Bibles or you're following along with us in our app, if not, we got it for you on the screen. We're going to kind of launch off of this talk here today. And we're going to have a good time today. Matthew chapter 28. We all know this scripture. We're familiar with it. Let's start verse 1. It says, "Now after the Sabbath," that was Saturday back then, so we're talking here toward the first, toward the dawn of the first day of week, which is Sunday, "Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men." I'm assuming that means that they just froze solid and almost literally probably passed out. "But the angel of the Lord said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he laid.'" Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the power of your word, the truth behind your word. And God, I pray that the truth and the power behind your word would come alive in our lives today. And God, I pray that you would guide me, my mind, my words, as I simply strive to be an echo of what you're saying to us all today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We are here to do nothing but celebrate an empty tomb. Simple as that. Sam Morris, a preacher in the 1800s, says the tomb of Christ is unlike any other. It has become famous for what it does not contain. I love that right there. I mean, we're talking the day when our God came walking out of the grave. I've been serving God for 20 years, and it never gets old to hear that or even to say that. I mean, he rose from the dead, friends. He resurrected. I love that. But what I really love about the resurrection is why he did it. He did it with purpose. And he echoed that purpose quite frequently throughout his time on this earth, might I add. He did it for you and I. He didn't simply rise up out of the tomb with new life so he could simply have new life. He's the author of all life. He is the source of life, friends. He did it for a purpose. He did it so that we, you and I, could experience that very same life, so that we could experience new life in our lives. Life, friends. New life. Life that is possessed with power to overcome. Life that is equipped for victory. Life that gives you purpose when you wake up in the morning. Life that places around you inexplicable opportunity for you and I to experience our dreams come true. Life that has and offers every resource heaven has to always be present around you and I, no matter where we are or what we're going through. And how many know the life God gives us is a life that doesn't stop at the grave, but it soars far beyond it to a place we call heaven, where you and I get to experience forever the taste of eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who gave us the life in the first place. Man, I'm straight up excited, as you can tell, for the new life that we have available to us because of an empty tomb. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." New life, friends. New life. What you have is life before Christ and life after Christ. And let me tell you, the two are quite different. Polar opposites, if I may. Day and night, friends. Man, I love that scripture right there. I love scripture. And what we do a lot at this church is we don't like to just read scripture. We like to read the context around the scripture, because these scriptures weren't written in America just a few years ago. These scriptures were written almost 2,000 years ago, particularly this one right here by a man by the name of Paul, who was writing to, says Romans here, he's writing to the Roman church that he started. And he was educating them in this book on what the tenets are and why we do what we do for Christ. And in this particular chapter and surrounding this verse, he's talking about baptism and why we do baptism and the purpose of baptism. I mean, how many have ever heard of baptism? A lot of people have heard of baptism, but many people may not necessarily know why we get baptized. And Paul is talking about how baptism, you know, like the word baptism in the Greek literally means baptizo, which means to immerse, which means what we do here at Journey Church a lot and what you may have done if you've been baptized. When you go under that water, it's very symbolic of you dying to your old ways, that old life, everything that tried to drag you down, the habits, man, that tried to destroy your life, all of that sin, you are going under. You're putting it to death. And when you come out of that water, it's like you're coming out of the grave with Jesus, brand new, a new creation like Corey talked about. And he was very, very handsome, might I add, with the shirt that you had on. We have the same shirt we found out when we came in today. You may not know, but we were sitting on, you was at your house, I was at my house. I was laying on my stomach with my feet in the air on the phone saying, "What are you wearing tonight?" You know, and he's like, "I'm wearing this." I'm like, "Well, let's match." Anyway. What was I talking about? You distracted me. Oh yeah, as you said, we are a new creation. A new creation in Christ. When we come out of that water, we're brand new, friends. He's talking about how baptism is a very symbolic moment of something very real that has happened to us after we start to follow Christ. It's all a celebration of this new life that has been given to us. And that's what baptism essentially is. It's a celebration of new life. We love baptism here at Journey Church. We love it, friends. We have had the overwhelming honor and privilege to see God create growth inside of this church that blows my mind. This church is 4 years and 10 months old. And can I tell you, we have had the honor. It blows me away. I get goosebumps every time I say it. We have had the honor to baptize over 400 people in our 4 year and 10 month history. What in the world? That blows my mind. And what I have seen, man, in this short 4 year and 10 month history of this church is what Paul is saying here in this scripture. What I see every time I see people getting baptized, I see lives that before Christ were filled with moment after moment of simply searching for happiness, searching for fulfillment, searching for purpose, and they couldn't find it anywhere that they were looking. Some of these lives, man, that you see on the screen literally soaked their pillows at night with their own tears, asking the question, will I ever be happy? Will I ever overcome my addiction? Will I ever see my dream come to life? Will I ever find my purpose? Will I ever recover from the storm of my divorce? Will I ever find my dream? Lives that tried to find those things and tried to find that happiness and that purpose and joy and fulfillment in relationships and hobbies and habits that they would take on, but nothing seemed to fill that hole in their life. Nothing seemed to fill that gap. After searching and searching, it still remained just that, a gap, a hole, until they met him. Now I watch their lives filled with everything they were looking for. And they found it all in one person. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about Jesus. It's okay. You can talk like that. We're at John Deere Drive in Lincoln County. Just look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about Jesus. They found it all in one person. Everybody say his name, Jesus, friends. Man, it is so awesome to see what I get to see. Before we started this church, we started this church on June 7th, 2009. And 3 weeks before, I got a call from a guy by the name of Aaron Miller, who has been coming for a while now, but he called me at 4 o'clock in the morning, drunk. Who calls a pastor at 4 o'clock in the morning drunk? And, you know, because I'm not even up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't believe in being up. People think that pastors are up early. I don't spend that time with God at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's the Chinese people's time to spend with God. They're on the other side of the planet. Sun's up over there. Hey, man, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to bother them and fringe on their stuff. So I'm sleeping, right? And, you know, you get that call, but I'm excited about pastoring the church. So if you ever had somebody call you while you're sleeping and you act like you're up, so before the phone even answers, you're like, hello? Oh, hey, what's going on? Oh, I was just cooking eggs or whatever you're saying. I'm up. You're good. So he's talking to me, and he's just, you know, he's drunk. And he's talking to me about, you know, just the pain in his heart and his life. And he's been trying to do everything to fill it. And there's not an amount of alcohol he can do to try and seem to make himself happy. And he just doesn't know what to do. And, man, I just said, listen, what you need to do is you need to get here with us, man. When we launch this church, he said, I heard you were starting a church. That's why I wanted to call you. And I said, get to that service, man. Get to it. It'll be life-changing. Get there, man. And in just a few weeks, and we prayed, you know, and I told him, I was like, man, you need to remember what we're saying because I'm going to be praying that you remember what we're saying here. Man, I waited and waited and waited, and 3 weeks later, we started our service, and there he walked in the door. And I watched this man walk in the door at the first service and give his life over to his God. And he laid that alcoholism down, and he has been sober every single day since. Now, here's what's cool. We get to celebrate our 5-year anniversary here at this church. Our 5th year of being a church here in just 6 or 7 weeks. I'm so excited about it. But what I love about people in this church like Aaron is that on our birthday, it's also his birthday. And he gets to celebrate 5 years sober with Jesus. Amen? How many think that's just awesome right there? I'm telling you, I'd love to see the growth in that man's life. He's grown to be a leader in this church. He's a part of our care pastor and deacon team here at this church. I mean, you call the pastor drunk, you better watch out. He'll turn you into a leader. Amen. What I love about the people in this church that I've had the privilege to meet over the years is just how easy it is to relate to them. Like, I relate to them. And I know you, that's kind of a weird statement to say. I relate to people in church. Because if you've never been in church, church was always filled with people that you didn't think you could relate to. What's crazy is the people that I relate to, I can relate to their stories. I can relate to their hurt. I can relate to their pasts. I can relate to their struggles. I can relate. How many have ever heard of a hashtag before? Right? Hashtags are like the new trend in social media. They've been going for a couple years now, but they have recently just been taking off big time. Now, if you're not familiar with Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, this is probably going to be a very foreign concept to you. But for the majority of Americans now that possess themselves with social media, most people understand what Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff does. But inside of it now, there's something that's hugely on the rise, and it's called hashtags. And a hashtag, by definition, is a word or an unspaced phrase preceded by a hash or a pound sign. And they really have two purposes. Number one, they exist to tagline a message or a specific subject or topic or a statement that you're making. So for instance, if I were to type, I've seen somebody type in one time, I've been waiting here in this grocery line at Walmart. I know this is probably what everybody can relate to, for 3 hours. Hashtag ain't nobody got time for that. Like, I've seen that. And it's like that hashtag just tags line what you're feeling, you know, the subject behind what you're saying. And they've become rather popular, and you can kind of see some of the funny subjects that come with it. Like, there was a hashtag that's out there called parent fail. Parent fails. That have parents that have said that they have failed in certain areas, or kids that have said that their parents have kind of failed in certain areas. Let me read you a couple of the parent fail hashtags. On Twitter, at Hanny Boo said, my dad told me the ice cream truck played music when all the ice cream was gone. Hashtag parent fail. At I Like Pictionary, this is the person, said, I didn't know my dad had shaved his mustache off, so when he came to pick me up from first grade, I thought I was being abducted. Hashtag parent fail. That would be scary. At Miss Lauren Thomas said, I put sunscreen on my four kids, but one came back burnt. Turns out I lathered one kid up twice. Hashtag parent fail. Some of you may have done that too. Hashtag suburban sublime says, I forgot to put the candy in the pinata at my daughter's fifth birthday party. Hashtag parent fail. Can you imagine just the air. You just had us beat a cardboard empty. At Christina Terry says, I asked my dad if I was adopted, and he said, trust me, no one would pay for you. Hashtag parent fail. I could read on and on. Let me read one more. At Joe Campbell 11 said, my dad is a horrible speller. One Christmas, my sister got a present from Satan. Amen. Honey, get those jeans that Satan got you for Christmas. All right. The purpose of a hashtag, the second purpose of it, it's not just a tagline, a message, but what it does is it shows you is that there are a ton of people out there that you can relate to. Because that's, I think, where we find the humor. And I think all of us can say some weird things that our parents did or things that we as parents that have done. I know I've got a few that I've done too. But, you know, it kind of shows you that you're not the only one with a weird, unique, funny experience. You're not alone. There are people out there that you can definitely relate to. Because here's the thing, hashtags are now hyperlinks on social media, which means you can click on it, and that allows you to see everyone who has ever used that hashtag, when they used it, and why they used it. And what that does is it networks everyone. It links everyone together underneath that subject or topic. Like parent fail. I typed in a hashtag because I like to search sometimes on these things. And I typed in hashtag empty tomb because I wanted to see what was on Twitter and who is hashtagging the empty tomb. I don't know if you got that picture of a Twitter feed. It's going to be impossible to read it. But this is kind of what a Twitter page looks like for those of you who are new. And on this right section, you kind of see these darker, bolder blue lines that you see kind of boom, 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 boom. I don't know if you can kind of circle those so you can kind of see. But what that does is it kind of networks everybody together. And I begin to read people's things. You can search for it on Twitter too and see people saying the same thing. I saw people saying, man, that they are free from alcoholism. And all they can say is hashtag empty tomb. I have joy in my life now. Hashtag empty tomb. My marriage was struggling, but because of Jesus and the hashtag empty tomb, we're in love again. And I see all these people just giving credit to the empty tomb for why it is that they have what they have. And I was reading it, man, it was just emotional because I began to relate to some of their experience. And I was like, man, I have that too because of the empty tomb. I have that too because of what Jesus did for me. And I began to think all that I have, all that I have been given, friends, and the context of my salvation and my joy and the forgiveness that just washes over my life every day from my loving God is because of that empty tomb. The provision that I have, the purpose that I have in my life. Do you know how good it is to wake up every morning and know that you're living in your purpose? Do you know that you can have that because of the empty tomb? You have that available to you. My marriage, my church, my family, all of it is because of that empty tomb. But there may be some of you today that may have never really tapped into the power of the empty tomb. There may be some here that may have simply disqualified yourself from ever having a great future because of a painful past. I'm here to tell you to not believe that lie. No matter what is behind you, Journey Church, can I tell you, God has a great future in front of you. Somebody say a good amen. And all of it is because of an empty tomb. You know, we love to take creativity here at this church. We love it. We love to do things crazy and creative. We celebrate it. We celebrate creativity here. We thought about just ways to illustrate sermons. You know, we've talked about marriage before. We made this whole place a restaurant, and we talked about just the importance of communication with each other. I even preached a sermon on intimacy, and I preached the whole sermon with my wife in bed with me. Put a bed right here on the church stage. I think we had about 300 people leave the church right after that. Amen. I remember my wife's like, "You want to do what?" I'm like, "Well, we're just going to sit there and preach." But we need to talk about what does God want in our marriage and why do we have what we have and how should we live our lives? And we always kind of do things out of the box here. We've had 8-foot tall Mr. Potato Heads and an 8-foot tall operation, the game operation, right? Where the buzzer goes off on the nose. And we've put things here just to illustrate the truth about God. We thought long and hard on what we could do here in this service. On how we could illustrate the power of the empty tomb. And I want to ask those that are going to help me tell this story, if they would, to go and get ready. These people that you see leaving are people that you had no idea were sitting amongst you. And each and every one of them have a story that you can relate to. It's powerful, friends. We thought long and hard on what we could do. We threw so many ideas against the board, and you know, we made Da Vinci's painting of the Last Supper come to life here before. We had a 60-foot by 30-foot frame where we had the living Last Supper. And I prayed and prayed about it, and I just said, you know, let's make it simple. Can you just get me a foam cutout of an empty tomb? What I really want to symbolize is Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Even as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life because of what he did. And I began to think about it. You know, as Christ walked out of that tomb with new life, so we have the opportunity to experience new life with him. And I thought, what better way to illustrate it than to show you some of the people in this church that have experienced change before Christ to after Christ. The first one is a man by the name of David Guffey. A guy that has been I've known this guy for a long time. This man cut his teeth on the pew. His parents are right over there. They've been a family that has had biblical values in their life, in their home, and they've raised him with that. Every time the doors are open, you're going to be in church. We're going to celebrate God. Now, how many know? I mean, that life is a great life. What a great story. And churches sometimes have the ability, no, churches all the time, have the ability to not necessarily reflect the love and the grace and the power of God all the time. And sometimes people can get burnt out, especially the people that continue just to go all the time and make it their life. I watched this guy too just walk into a season of his life where he was experiencing burnout. But because of the values of Jesus and the values that his family even imparted into him, the values that he absorbed from the pulpit and the messages and his relationship with God, he didn't choose to be burnt out, but he persevered. And he kept serving, and he kept going, and he realizes, man, I'm here to serve my God. And he continued to find passion in what he does. And he's one of the most genuine people you'll ever know. But he'll tell you the reason he does what he does and who he is because of an empty tomb. You'd think after seeing this twice now, I wouldn't be so baby-like. But I love what God's doing in this church and all that he's doing. It's because of that empty tomb. Every story you see on this stage is because of who he is and what he did to prove that he is simply available to you. And nothing, absolutely nothing, can hold you back from his love. He's here in this room. And he wants nothing more than to allow you to experience that purpose and that joy and that fulfillment. It's why he did what he did. I want to ask if we would, for every head bowed and every eye closed in this room, you're in this place today and maybe you're searching. Maybe you're searching. Searching for fulfillment. Searching for purpose. Searching for joy. You can't find happiness. Maybe you're consumed by an addiction and you've tried everything you can to break it, but it never seems to work. I want to tell you today, he's here. He's in this room, and he wants to be in your heart. All he needs is an invitation. He needs an invitation from you. He would never impose his will on you. Friends, you were created in his image, in his likeness. The Bible gives us a choice every day. And I want to ask you on this day, oh, what a significant day. Are you ready to choose to allow him into your life? Are you ready to choose to allow that forgiveness for all of our sin, for all of your sin to come crashing down into your life and make you brand new? Are you ready, friends, to experience new life? Are you ready to wake up every day with purpose? Are you ready to know what it's like to be free? Are you ready to hear the sound of the chains of addiction break off of you? Are you ready to experience healing in your heart and healing for your hurt? If that's you in this place, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. God is a God that can meet you right where you're at. I just want to ask you to make one act of faith with nobody looking around. All I want you to do, if that's you, friends, is right before the sight of God, I just want you to raise your hand. up real high. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Hands coming up all across this building of people that are saying, I want that new life. I'm tired of the way things have been going, and I'm ready for him to come and make me new. Anyone else? Anyone else in this room? I'm telling you right now, as hands are coming up, he is making his way into your life. He is making the entrance that you have been waiting for him to make, that he has been waiting to make. Anyone else? Once you put them up, you can put them right back down. Anyone else in this room, I want to give you that honor to have that time and that experience with a loving Savior today. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? I feel a need just to pause. Dad, now's not the time to hold back. God's been waiting for this moment. God's waiting on you. God's waiting on you to give you the family that you know is in your heart that you need to have. Dads, don't hold back. Thank you. Thank you. I want you to do him the greatest blessing you could ever give him right now. And I just want you just to pray. Pray to him. Some of you may be like, I don't know how to pray. Yes, you do. The word prayer is just a fancy word that church people use. The word pray in the Latin literally means talk. We talk every day. We pray every day. Talk to him right now. You don't got to scream your prayer. He hears the thoughts in your mind. He hears the thoughts that you think. Just talk to him right now and say, Lord, I invite you into my life. I want you to come in, Lord, and just bring that forgiveness, Lord, into my life. I want to start following you. Come in, Lord, and make me new. Like we just sang that song earlier in the service, you're making all things new. I want to be made new in this room. Like the cardboards that I saw on this stage, Lord, I'm ready for my story to start with you. Just come into my life, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean of my past. Give me a future. Give me a future that only you can give me. Oh God, we're thankful of what we have in you and what you're doing right now in the life of each person right now who has reached out for you. I feel right now that shoulders are a lot lighter. Some of you came in with a weight of a heavy past on your shoulder, and you right now for the first time are feeling what it's like to not have to carry that anymore, because Jesus literally just came right to you and took that off of you and put it on himself. He's there to bear your burdens. He's there to help you with your hurts. He's there to get you and I through our pain. Enjoy the feeling of freedom right now. Thank you, God, for what we have in you because of an empty tomb. We love you, Lord, and what you have done and what you are doing in this place. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.